for tat, for every tint, there's a tat. Tit, tit, tat, tat, tit, tit, tat, tit for tat. Thomas and Miranda, a dude and a queen, talking about the gossip out on the scene, and you can count on them to give you the dish. And if we don't like you, you're a son of a bitch.
Oh my.
Tit for tat, oh tit for tat, for every tit, there's a tat. Tit, tit, tat, tat, tit, tit, tat, tit for tat.
Hey, all you titty tats out there, it is the Tit for Tat Show.
Yay.
Wow. I'm your giant drag queen hostess, the mostess, Miranda Lanai.
Yay.
Yes. And there's my fabulous friend, Mr. Thomas.
Yep. He's here too.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous.
It's been a minute.
I know. It has been. We've been busy.
We've been busy.
Quite busy.
Yeah. And but now new season, right?
Yes, we need it.
We are coming back hard.
We better.
Yep.
We better.
Yeah, a lot going on.
You have no idea.
Oh,
well,
I
actually
do.
You do.
Yes, I do.
You do. You do. I've been chased around by people and all kinds of crazy stuff.
And not in the good way.
No, no.
No.
Oh well.
What's about to get a little better?
Uh-oh. Let's hope. Yeah.
I'm teasing.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, because we're not going to actually do our email segment today.
Oh, okay.
It appears that we have got an actual campaign against us now.
What?
Yes, we have had...
That's nothing new.
Close to 300 emails all about on the same issue that I spared you from initially, but now I think we need to at least address it. And to be perfectly honest, I am really curious what you're going to have to say about this, because the group that's kind of targeted us this time are a certain segment of gay people.
Huh.
Yeah. And they're not being cute.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was, steam was coming out of my ears at several points.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you want to just jump right into it?
Is my wig going to pop off?
Oh. Especially, yes.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right.
Here we go.
I think I'm ready for it.
I don't know. All right. I just saw your post on Facebook. Only a few short years ago, the meaning of the rainbow flag was all about love.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all about fetish, kink, mental illness, mutilation, homophobia, oppression, bigotry, etc.
What?
There really isn't anything positive about it anymore. Hashtag LGB without the TQ. Just as predicted, the acceptance of pedophilia as an identity is now being pushed upon society.
What?
By all means, let them identify themselves. It will never be acceptable. It will be the last straw. Hashtag LGB without the TQ.
Oh,
we're just getting started.
Oh.
Here's the next one. People who demand the use of pronouns different to their sex are without exception, number one. Homophobes who advocate for the gay conversion therapy of children.
Oh.
Number two, misogynists who think men should decide women's boundaries. It is you, capital Y-O-U, I think this was specifically at you, peddling hate. Because that's what we do. That's what we've been doing for years.
Okay.
Hashtag.
Okay. Oh, no.
LGB without the TQ.
What?
And now this one starts with hashtag LGB without the TQ. You have no understanding, do you? The TQI cult is homophobic and nothing to do with us LGB. Why are you do-gooders not listening to the LGB community and so intent on lumping us together? But it needs to be addressed. It's this kind of a deep thing, you know. I've known this has been looming.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of compartmentalize it a little bit and kind of push it away because you kind of think, okay, this is fringe people, right? This is extremists that you hear the loudest. It's not that anymore.
Mm-mm.
And yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know where to begin.
Uh-huh.
I'm rarely flabbergasted. I'm rarely at a loss for words.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to say about a lot of things, but this? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Okay, so rainbow flag. Let's go down the list here because this is just pissing me off. You know, yeah, I get it. The original rainbow flag, you know, got pared down to six colors, and they all mean something specific, and I get it. And it had nothing to do with the letters of our alphabet, right?
Right,
was specifically geared towards emotions and love and feelings and things of that nature. So there was no, LGB or even T for that matter in that mix.
Yeah.
So I get that. I understand that premise behind the colors of the flag. But with this new progressive flag, the inclusivity behind it speaks volumes to allowing the T and the Q and the I to be a part of this.
And not even just that. They have specifically added colors to even be more inclusive.
Right.
Yes.
Because people of color, the POC portion of the flag are the least represented within our own community.
Yeah.
And they take up a large portion of it, though, especially in the transport community.
Yes.
It just floors me that they don't see that this is progressive. Like, that's why it's called the Progressive Pride Flag, right? It's taking a step forward. You know, look at all the different flags that have come out. If the original Pride Flag had 9 colors, they got transferred down to 6. I'm sure there were people who were angry about that.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And this lasted for a long time. And showing that, and there's actually a different progressive flag as well that actually adds the that middle triangle at the very end. It usually adds the asexual and it adds a couple other things too. That's great. What does it matter?
Right.
What does it matter to you?
Right.
What flag you fly on your house or on your car or whatever it is that you got to do? What does it matter to you? Why are you so upset about this?
Right.
I don't understand that. I think that's what bothers me most about it, about all of this. What are you so upset about?
Yeah.
What are they taking away from you?
Right. Right.
And if you're a member of the LGB community, they've been a part of our community for a long time.
Oh, come on. From the beginning.
Yes. And they're the ones that helped us start a movement.
Correct.
So you can go sit your ass down and shut the fuck up and drink your mimosa.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
That pisses me off.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's and I'm going to start throwing a little bit of a conspiracy theory out there, which is probably not too big of a stretch. If you don't think that there are bigger powers at work here trying to get us to divide ourselves and eat ourselves, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you are playing right into their hands.
Yes.
You know, the old united we stand, divided we fall. Let me tell you, LGB, I don't even know how to say it, people. Trans people don't want anything to do with you, all right? If that's your position, they want nothing to do with you.
Right.
So why are you after them, right?
And we can say the same about the first three letters of our acronym.
Yes.
The L doesn't want anything to do with the G, and the G doesn't have anything to do with the B, and the B, like, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Okay. What was the other point? The next one after the flag? I want to go in some kind of succinct order here.
Okay, yeah. Number one, homophobes who advocate for the gay conversion therapy of children.
Who is doing conversion therapy?
Right.
Who? I don't understand this. Who? And it kills me to know that, and that kind of goes back into the
story time,
the story hour, and being called a pedophile, and all those things that I've been a part of and been called, and I've even heard it. I don't really say it this often, but I have heard it from my own peers.
Mm.
I don't think you should be reading to children.
Mm.
Well, I don't think you should be talking to me right now.
Or ever.
Because this has nothing to do with your thoughts on this.
Right.
This has everything to do with what is needed and necessary in a community where now more than ever, the ability for a youth to recognize or to even find out who they are at such a young age without being told, without being geared towards somewhere or pushed towards something specific.
Yeah.
We all found that out in our own terms. And a lot of times it was met with such vigorous hate from our families.
Right.
I would love to have known that my family would have wanted me to express myself at such an early age.
Absolutely.
Instead of being told that that was wrong and you got your hand slapped and punished and you got to hide it. That was many years ago.
Yeah.
Hence the term staying in the closet.
Right.
Right? Keeping yourself hidden from everybody else.
Right.
Story hour has nothing to do with anything more than reading fun children's stories.
Right.
And I think, you know, now that we've got a really good handle on the story hour bits, we now post all the books that we read. We now, like, share the things that we're putting forward. So true transparency, right? Even within our LGBT community, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's what's going on. There is nothing going on here that you feel is some kind of conversion therapy. We're telling them to you. Just because you see a drag queen read a story about Little Miss Muffet, you know, come on.
Yeah, and my question would be, have you ever actually met a drag queen? Because I've met a lot of them. And let me tell you, the last thing they're worrying about right now are little kids.
Exactly.
Please.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's outrageous. And I, you know, do I have to really worry about my own, the members of my own community when I'm trying to watch my back against these assholes who are trying to come for me?
Yes, apparently you do.
So now I have to watch both sides of the room?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I have been really pondering this and pondering it and trying to come up with something that can make any type of sense. The only thing I can think of is the selfishness and self-loathing of, we got a few rights, so now we want to fully assimilate, and we want nothing else to put us at risk or at threat. And currently, the hatred of choice today seems to be against trans people, right? So we are going to insulate ourselves from that hatred by eliminating them from our family.
Yep.
Messed up beyond belief.
You know, and I heard rumblings of this many years ago in the community.
Yeah.
I've heard the rumblings of why is the T portion of our alphabet attached to us?
Yeah.
Why did they become a part of our story?
Yeah.
And it, I thought about it for a second, and it kind of went away. It was like a topic of conversation, then it kind of drifted away, and it didn't really come out into the public anymore. But now, why is this a big thing now?
And it's a big thing. Yeah, it's a big thing, and it's growing. Yeah.
Unfathomable to me.
And especially when there are, what, over 400 laws pending to restrict our rights and our human rights, and now we're going to start carving each other up? You know, I mean, it just is so lunacy. It's just pure lunacy.
It is. And I can probably guess, and I'll get all the hate mail. You send it all to me. Please do. I will guarantee you it is the affluent white gay male who's saying this out loud. I can almost guarantee it.
Well, you know, and there's the other huge component. Thank you, Martina Navratilova, who is going after trans people in her own right. So there is the whole woman side of it. The turf thing, all that kind of stuff happening. And what kills me is, and let's specifically say it, somebody who had struggled for so long, right, is now able, from a point of privilege, to turn on people in her own community. Unforgivable.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And here we thought, watching what's her butt transition from Olympic star to, you know, a joke.
Yeah.
And to think that they were there, they don't want to even advocate.
Right.
For.
Right.
Like it floors me, the mentality behind this.
Yeah.
And let's be perfectly clear. We have always expressed our love and appreciation for every letter of this alphabet soup that we're in.
Of course.
I don't care what letter you identify as. We care about you.
Yep.
There's a reason why we have a talk show like this. There's a reason why we have conversations like this, is because there still aren't safe spaces within our own community now. Yeah. That seems to be more prevalent. So how is it that we lost a lot of the bar systems? A lot of the bars in most cities are gone that were safe havens for all of us.
Yeah.
We're down to a handful per city. And now there's not even... Now our own community is like going, we don't want you in here either.
Right. Right.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And the most offensive part, right on the heels of another transgendered person being murdered days ago, right? That you're going to continue to push this narrative that is only going to endanger more people, whether you like it or not, who are in your community. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Again, I still feel like I'm at a loss for words, and I'm not.
I know.
There's so much I want to say, but it just,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? And there's no real, there's no explanation.
No.
There's no logical explanation for it.
No.
And they can't give it.
No. 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 And you're right. It is absolutely the people with the most privilege trying to use it against the people with the least amount of privilege at this point in time and carve them out, which is just so hypocritical. I mean, beyond hypocritical.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting. And I will say I am extremely grateful for our guest tonight, who tends to put me in a very zen-like place. And
I think I might need that too at this point.
And yeah, we are extremely fortunate to have our guest tonight. And I think this is a really good time, because if there's anybody who gets more hatred and handles it better, it is our guest tonight.
Yeah,
and I think it will be a really well-timed appearance.
Good. I'm happy for it.
Yeah,
me too. I'm ready. I need that zen. I need that moment of zen, please.
Yeah,
please.
And you know what? Next time we will be back to our normal emails.
Yes.
We are not going to put any more time and effort into this insanity. But I thought it was very important, you know, that we answer this and make our stance very well known and very clear that we are fully inclusive and you're not going to divide us, you know, and that's the reason I think we had a pause on the emails, but we will get back to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned to your tets. We'll be back with our special guest.
All right, Veranda, you know how sometimes cosmically things just happen at the exact time you need them?
The stars have aligned.
The stars have absolutely aligned, and we'll get into why once we do our introduction. But I cannot tell you how excited I am for our guest this evening.
Yay!
Yeah, somebody who I consider a very, very, very important part of my life, and every time I need something in a spiritual or just even like a human way, I know exactly to go to those social medias.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely. Without further delay, here he is, the one, the only, Brandon Robertson.
Whoop, whoop.
Wow, you all are so kind. Thanks for having me. It's so good to be back with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we missed you.
Likewise.
Yeah, and a lot has changed since we've chatted.
Yeah.
I feel like I should buckle up.
Well, you have moved to my old stomping grounds in New York City.
Yes, yes. I never stay in a place for longer than 4 years. At least that's been the past 10 years of my life. And I think last time I was in San Diego, and now I spent a year in D.C., and now I've landed in New York City. So,
and how are you liking it?
It's incredible. I live right in Hell's Kitchen above a gay bar, and life could not be better.
That is awesome.
Perfect.
Yes, it's good.
And you're now at 20 books.
Yeah, it's been a busy few years, but been writing and writing and writing. It's my therapy, and so I'm glad to keep putting stuff out there and hoping somebody will read it.
Well, they're reading it. They are. I actually, my mom is currently reading one of your books right now, which I was so pleased to be able to give to her. And we'll get into that a little bit later, too. But alluding to our intro, we have become a pseudo-target, which is not new for us, from different hate areas, which I also know you are way more familiar with as well. But what was shocking is the new group that has targeted us are our own gay people.
Our own family.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And
who
now,
are these people?
Yes, exactly. The whole point is they are now the LGB minus the T, and every single hate letter starts with hashtag LGB without the T.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Brandon, it's unreal. It's just, I cannot even begin. I was floored. I was floored and speechless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've had some experiences with these types of folks too over the past couple of years, and it's really unfortunate to see people trying to drive deeper wedges within our community, especially in a time where we are in a pivotal moment where lots of the things that we've progress that we've seen over the past few years is being attacked, and to see folks trying to divide us up, especially against our trans and non-binary siblings, is just absurd.
Yeah. And days after that horrific murder, you know, that's what was so personally offensive to me. To launch out at us. And you know what? That's the thing. You know, because you've been there, we can take it, right? Like, we can take that type of hatred. But when you're talking about the marginalized and people at true risk, that just, it's, you know, it's hard to even put your mind around that.
Totally. And I think you're exactly right to bring up next and their death. And just, I mean, that's just one other example of how this sort of division and this sort of rhetoric, it's not just political, it's not just on the internet. This actually is impacting real lives, especially the lives of young people, especially the lives of people of color. And I think what we do in response to these types of people is hold up the lives and the impact of this kind of rhetoric, because they have to see that it's not just benign things they get to spout off on the internet, but it's actually harming people in very real and unfortunate ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't even think that they think that it's benign. There's definite malice there. There's definite malice there.
Totally. I think that read is probably exactly right. And I don't like to admit that, but there are so many people out there that have their own hurt within them, and they don't mind causing real harm to real people. And this is a moment for them to look inward and do their own work. But instead, they're spewing their hate to people that are doing good work in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, and not just to be relentlessly promoting, but in these types of situations, and I truly, truly do mean this, when stuff like this happens, honestly, I do visit your socials. And when I see people coming for you, of course, you know, the hair stands up on the back of my neck. And I was like, you're not coming for my Brandon. But then your response videos are so controlled and so to the point and
succinct.
I would be yelling, you know, slurs at people probably. And, but what is the better thing to do, right? I mean, he nails it time and time again. And what we were saying before you came on, after we were reading the stuff that we got, is you have this unique way to bring us into this place of Zen, right? Where we are able, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true, where we are able then to kind of put our heads back together for a moment and respond in an adult way.
Well, again, thank you for your kindness. Two things. I think one, when we get to do this work on the internet, that's been a blessing for me, because it does put a barrier between my actual reaction and what I say in front of people. But, and also, to be very honest with you, even though I've been doing this work for 10 years, and so I can be composed when facing people that are saying ridiculous things, my own fuse has gotten shorter, actually, as I've done this work, because there's almost no excuse at some point for the kinds of homophobia, transphobia, bigotry that is being promoted in an era where there is so much information out there. There are so many stories being told publicly. And there is a place for righteous anger and saying, I'm not going to engage with you because you're just a bigot. And that's something that I tried to resist over the last 10 years of my work. But
yeah.
I think the more I do this, the more I see that, yes, there is some room for bridge building and working with people that see things differently. But there's also a time to stand up and say, you all are crazy, you all are harmful, and I'm not engaging with you.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to give you a little bit of a tip right now. The reason that is happening for you is your time in New York City, and it is going to get worse because that's part of it. I'm telling you,
I'm becoming a New Yorker.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yep.
I love it.
Yes. But and on that note as well, I mean, it is what's really fascinating to me also is that your ministry, for lack of a better term, has been able to really help LGBT people, especially by kind of like going to the Bible and taking apart what has always been weaponized against us. And the truth, though, that's coming out of that from your educated place is really amazing and really affirming. And that's what I think is one of the greatest things about you and what you do, because we are so used to having the Bible weaponized against us and people shouting the same things again and again. And in reality, if you listen to the genius that Brandon has done the work, he has put in the time and is able to dissect it, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but when people use it against us, it is lacking the cultural aspects of when it was written, and I know I'm slaughtering it, Brandon, I'm sorry, but is amazing to me, you know? And yeah, just yeah.
I mean thank you for that again. And like, I think two things. I mean, one, I have been blessed and burdened with the student debt of 10 years of getting to study this stuff. Yeah. And I think one of the things I learned in my studies was that there have been queer and people of color and indigenous folks that have been engaging the Bible for thousands of years, and particularly in the past couple hundred years. And yet most of these voices never leave academia. Mm. And part of my mission and ministry over the last 10 years is to take the stuff that I've gotten to access within the ivory tower, so to speak, which funny enough are usually marginalized voices that are very not ivory tower, and share that with the world and watch how these perspectives literally blow people's minds. I mean, yes. Part of it is exactly as you said, studying ancient Greek culture. Like, that's a huge part of what I do. So much of my work has been shaped by listening to incredible Black womanist scholars and indigenous scholars from Palestine and these people that have deep connections to the Bible in a way that white European folks actually don't. We don't actually ever hear their voices because there are so many systems in place to make sure that we don't actually
hear
get to access them. So
yeah. It becomes very skewed.
Totally. And just to remember that the Bible came from a group of people who were oppressed. And the Bible comes out of poverty. The Bible comes out of people being pushed down by empire. And it's so ridiculous that over Christian history, the Bible has become the tool of empire and the tool of oppression. It's the exact opposite of what the Bible is.
Yeah.
And once we realize that, once people see that, the Bible can be reclaimed as this incredibly subversive and liberating book.
Well, and not only just the Bible, but I mean, even reclaiming Jesus for who he is and not standing up in judgment of us, you know, I mean, and how kind of like unique is the fact that we have three gay men sitting here talking about the Bible that historically would have hung us, you know, I mean, like that type of thing. But it is about reclaiming all these, it really truly is, you know, and even down to like one of your videos that I was just recently watching, when you started it by saying, "What are you so afraid of?" That's what rings so true to me, because I feel like it is 90% of this is based out of the fear that you're going to find out what you so are clutching and holding on, trying to believe in, may not be the actual truth of the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And like I've been using that phrase for the last few years to summarize everything I believe. It's love over fear. And on one hand, that sounds kitschy and whatever, but if we actually like break that down, you're exactly right. Most people live in tremendous fear, fear of the unknown, fear of the God they were raised with growing up. And the constant refrain of Jesus and throughout the New Testament is, do not be afraid. God's love casts out fear. And for me, that's such a liberating insight, that whenever a belief or a religious idea is causing somebody to be afraid or causing people to demonize somebody else, we can be certain that that's not from God, because God is love and love casts out fear. And so our theology should draw us towards love. And if it's not drawing you towards love, you can be sure it's not from God. And that makes it pretty easy to figure out what is true and what's not true. And that's what really guides my faith and my theology today.
I wish I could just have you in my pocket to take with you to some of these events where I'm getting blasted by Christian nationalists and a bunch of other individual groups that just are screaming at me and at the families and the people who are just kind of protecting everyone in the room or in the on the street. And it just... they come from such a place, and you're right, it's such a place of fear. And I am also going to say a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
You know, they're being told one specific thing to, there's no love there. There is no love there at all.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like fear produces ignorance. Fear makes you not want to learn a different perspective, because you believe that the other perspective is Satan, is of the devil. And so you have no reason to actually think differently. And that's where... not to get them off the hook, but I do have some empathy at some level, and it's why I can kind of do the kind of interviews and debates that I do, is because I realize that so many of these people are not hateful at their core. They're truly, truly afraid, and that is a sad place to be. Mm. And if you can try to relate to them on that level and say, like, you have nothing to be afraid of. God is bigger than what you think. God's love is more expansive then you understand, that can open up some space that actually can transform people's hearts and minds. But it's hard work, and I don't always do it, and I don't think any of us can always do it, but
I don't have the capacity for that. I don't. I've tried to be passive about it, and I do for the most part, but at some point, again, there's that short wick again, that short fuse. That I just I'm going to lose my mind if I have to go through this one more stinking time.
Yeah.
And
And Brandon, I've seen the earrings come off. I've seen them come off.
You got to take them off, and sometimes you do have to step up and speak up, because here's the other thing though. Like it's easy for me to sit here and say yes, we should empathize and be loving, peace sign, whatever. This is actually the role of allies for any community. It's not up to queer people to defend our lives and our love to people that are afraid of us or who hate us. Just like it's not up for people of color to defend themselves to white supremacists. It's white folks, our job to step in between and face that fear head on of white supremacists. And it's the allies of the queer community who we really do need to step into this space and do this work for us, because one, they have more access and ability, and two, there's a lot less in this for them. And so I want queer folks to hear that, because we're not all called to go into these spaces where we're going to get beaten up by crazy people. That's other people's work to do.
Yeah, but that's also a hard pill to swallow, because when you're trying your best to maintain your viability as an LGBT member of whatever community that you're in, and you have someone else trying to speak for you, and you're not in that room, are they getting it right? Are they getting it right?
Yeah.
Are they actually saying the right things to make it not feel you know, I'm getting at it. Just I, how are we? How do we know this is being done in the right capacity? And that's yeah, something that I struggle with when you have allies who they are true allies. They want to participate in different things. They want to help create events and do things, but they're not allowing the LGBT person to sit at the table in the room and let them speak and, you know, lead the conversation.
Right. No, and I totally agree. I think there are two roles for the ally person. I always say being a voice for the voiceless is not actually what anyone is called to do. What we're called to do is give the voiceless back their voice. And so I agree with you that the role of the ally, first and foremost, is to find ways to uplift the queer person, the queer voice in their community. And in spaces that are combative and actively harmful to queer people, that is a particular space where the ally doesn't have to go in and they're not representing the queer community. They're simply holding up a mirror to the people that are doing harm and saying, you all are wrong and you need to be held accountable for this. And many queer people, we do step into those spaces and do that work, but especially when we talk about religion, so many queer folks have so much religious trauma. And I, in good conscience, can't tell all queer folks that they need to go and combat the religious bigots in their community or in their family. Right. In those situations, it's important that we have allies that we can lean on that can be a barrier for us or the front line. And so the ally role shifts and changes based on the context, but I do agree that the first and foremost role of an ally is to give the voice back to the queer community that has been silenced and let us speak for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in this arena too, because there are not nearly enough queer voices like yours helping people. Like you said, the amount of trauma that so many churches have kind of thrust onto the queer community, it's still really difficult, you know, even to the extent, like I've told you before, I was an altar boy. I, you know, grew up in that. I dramatically struggled with, they did not want me, you know, they aggressively, now they didn't fully know who I was, but I knew, you know, and to hear that representation. And then when you do finally say who you are and the result of that is, no, you are not welcome here. It is traumatic, you know, and it's that level of hypocrisy that I struggle with kind of privately, because I do consider myself extremely spiritual. What form that takes is kind of the current struggle in a way. And the hypocrisy, even down to, you know, God is love versus he is a vengeful God, you know, and in those moments where you're sitting there going, not my God, you know, so who, whose God are we talking about?
Yeah. I mean, you're highlighting, funny enough, maybe a tangent, but there's been a big controversy in the queer Christian community over the past month or so, because there's one very prominent queer theologian, we'll call him, who came out at a big queer Christian conference and said they are opposed to queer theology. And the whole idea was that they believe traditional Christianity is right, and we've simply misunderstood the Bible on six verses. And if we just correct the interpretation of six verses, then queer Christians should just go be a part of traditional Christian churches that finally understand what these verses say, versus queer theology, which says the problem has never been six Bible verses. Right. The problem is the entire form of traditional Christianity that is infused with patriarchy and misogyny and racism. And so it is so important that queer folks have the freedom and the permission to completely deconstruct faith and to understand that that itself is a faithful thing to do. Jesus, read the Gospels. I encourage anyone listening to read the Gospels. Jesus tears apart the Bible. He says, you've heard it said one thing, and he'll quote from the Old Testament. And then he says, but I say to you, and he gives a completely new command. What he's doing is saying, some of these standards in the Bible themselves are deficient. They're not good, and there's a better way, and we need to change our minds and act differently. If Jesus could do that, I think we have permission to do that, because Jesus told us we would do greater things than even he did. And so I think queer people need to be free to explore and innovate and rethink what faith looks like. And that might mean you leave church altogether, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do, I take great comfort in knowing that I personally believe Jesus would find us as marginalized people, knowing who he actually did spend his time and surround himself with, over the people using him against us.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Again, we all know this. Jesus spent all of his time talking against the people that were right. using religion and political power for their own benefit and to marginalize others. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep, so now Veranda's going to go destroy the temple, I'm telling you.
Yes.
Veranda's
some
in a mood.
Some temples need to be destroyed.
Yeah, Veranda's in a mood. Those earrings have been off for a while
yes.
today. So.
Yes. Yeah, there are just those days, you know, when you kind of just can't take that next step until you have the breath first, which is why I really do believe you were meant to be here for us tonight, honestly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I hope you know, I'm sorry that you all are facing that kind of hatred, and in the same way Jesus said this to his disciples, and like I take comfort in this in the work that I do. It's when you get that hatred, that's obviously a sign that you're doing something right, that you're saying a message of love, because love always provokes fear from people who don't have it, and so it means that you all are shining a light of love. And you're causing people to be afraid. And Jesus said, expect it to happen. And that's how you know God is with you. And so I think be encouraged even as much as it sucks.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you ever see Veranda coming at you to put you in her pocket, just run.
I've always wanted to be a pocket gay, so let's make it happen.
And the sad part is you would actually fit in her pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, and so obviously I know all of our listeners who have written endlessly about how much they enjoy when you come on the show have been very much looking forward to this, and I'm sure going to be as impressed as they have in the past. Do yourself a favor. Find Brandon's socials. Mm-hmm. Go on his website. It is one of those things where if you are even considering kind of re-looking at your relationship in a spiritual way, this is one of the things that will really make you feel good about it. And I think, Brandon, I am actually going to do your cohort thing, because I think there's no choice for me at this point. I need to do it, even though I'm like 2 months behind at this point.
No, you're so good. Come hang with us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. But we would love to have you back again. One of these days we're going to do this in person. Either we're going to come to the city or we're going to get you here. But that would be a really epic next move for
us. That'll really put you in my pocket.
Yes. Yeah.
I would love that. I can't wait. And I really, really appreciate the work that you all are doing. And I'm so glad we get to connect again. And can't wait to do it again already. So
absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
And have a wonderful night, and we will talk to you very soon. I'll talk to you sooner than Veranda, but sorry.
Awesome.
Thank you again.
I look forward to chatting. Yeah, have
absolutely.
A good night.
Bye-bye. Wow, you know, sometimes is the only thing I can get
after those
visits. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need a little bit of that comfort that...
Yes.
Just to say it's okay to, but powerful words, right?
Yes.
So these people are coming from a place of pure fear. I just think it's just anger.
But wouldn't it be awesome if you had that ability to pull those like 4 or 5 words out that are so meaningful, mm-hmm. like at whenever you wanted to?
Right.
That's
right.
Amazing
right.
to
right,
me.
Right. Yeah.
It probably would help if I read the Bible to have that ability, but I actually just kind of rely on him now.
But you know, I think it is just a matter of having the ability to connect with Brandon and listen to what he has to say. Just fills the void a little bit, right? And allows you that those who are of any of spiritual faith. Yeah. that you can relate to it. It kind of doesn't really matter which faith you believe in, that it kind of transcends.
Absolutely. And yeah. For that voice, knowing that that voice is coming from your family, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, means so much more.
Sure.
Because much to like what he was saying, you don't have to have that thought in the back of your mind of, when is this going to turn against me?
Yeah.
And I think that's what so many people do have, because it has happened.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The regression.
Right.
It's that cycle.
Yes.
Right. That has happened to us. And look where we're at with these fools right. within our own community. This weird cycle that just keeps.
Oh, you're just not going to let
go. Oh, no,
of
I'm not. Oh, no. When I go home, it's going to be anger writing, you know?
Well, like I said, we're not
doing that again.
No,
we're not.
Which is also why we did not name any names.
Right,
I'm not giving them any credit for that.
They don't need it.
No. And we are going to go back.
But you're going to tell me later.
Sure.
I'm just kidding. No.
You dated half of
it.
Them.
I don't no. need it. Oh, God. Shut up.
But we are going to go back to our format, because I do think a lot of people come here to laugh, which I do as well.
Yeah.
And we are definitely going to get back to that. There are some things you just need to do and put out there and get it over with.
Yeah.
And it was like cutting cancer out tonight.
Sure. Sure.
And from that point forward, we're done.
Yeah.
We are cured, girl. Yeah. Yep.
I haven't taken a pill for that yet.
You've taken one for everything else. Oh, no.
I think on that note.
Yeah, on that note, sadly, we are here again.
Oh.
I know. Say goodnight, Veranda.
Goodnight, Veranda.
Say goodnight, Mike.
He just waved at us. I love it. He's like, yeah.
He was giving you visuals,
I
forgetting
saw,
this was just.
Yeah.
There he is, right?
See?
Yeah, and this is Thomas. Always remember, if you've got nobody else,
you've always got us.
Tit for tat, oh, tit for tat, for every tint, there's a tat. Tit, tit, tat, tat, tit, tit, tat. Tit. For Tad, Thomas and Veranda, a dude and a queen, talking about the gossip out on the scene, and you can count on them to give you the dish. And if we don't like you, you're a son of a bitch.
Oh my.
Tit for Tad, oh, tit for Tad, for every tit, there's a Tad.